This is a story of a family on the run, moving from apartment to apartment, from neighborhood to neighborhood, from state to state. It takes place some 50 years ago. Verda Jean Towns Collins, a retired postal worker, is now 63. Her mother, Geraldine Norwood, is 84. In 1943, they left their home in Grenada, Mississippi, and via Louisville, Kentucky, then Jeffersonville, Indiana, found their way to the Promised Land. But they didn't stop moving once they reached Chicago.
Chicago was my fifth residence when I was 10.
So when we came to Chicago, we moved on Adams, 1353 West Adams, and from that to 33 South Aberdeen.
From the second address, we moved from that to 2300 Maypole. Maypole. When we left Maypole and my mother got away from my dad, we moved 1866 South Lawndale. Okay, he moved us 1500
Hamlin,
on Hamlin.
And from that back, we moved back over on Adams.
Yeah.
I was running away from my husband. And everywhere I went, he found me, and I moved again.
By the time I was 16, I had lived in 13 places.
When we moved, I was thinking of being safe from my husband. That's all I could think of. Just get away and don't get caught, because I was afraid of it.
We were strung out behind her, and she had her hobo knot tied sheet, you know, and that's just what I can see in my mind's eye.
I just run off and go to somebody else's house, some friend's house, and then I would try to get me a place to stay. And the only reason I would go back to him is when he find me. And when he find me, he say, "You my wife." In other words, I don't have no choice.
You know, he was very jealous. My mother was a very pretty lady, very shapely lady, and very progressive. She wanted to, you know, learn and do, you know, and be. And he kind of wanted to keep her stuck, like, in the old ways and that. And she just always rebelled, and then she paid the penalty and ran off when she had to, you know. I think that he could have found us right away all the time, in that, you know, blacks were in, like, small communities. I think maybe he enjoyed his freedom for a while, and then he would look for us. On one of our moves, my dad came up to the school, and he tricked my sister. He couldn't trick me, but he tricked my sister, you know, and she ended up telling him where we lived, and we'd been on move one day. How I act, I don't.
I really don't.
It's just whatever was in motion is what you went with.
It seems like they just, whatever I did, looked like they just fell in and agreed, you know, and were just happy that we were, once we get somewhere together, we would just be happy together. If it was one room, we was happy, you know.
Homeless was never in our vocabulary. We always knew that she would find a place for us. So I can't remember going for any long lengths of time without having curtains or things like that.
Later, we would have some curtains, maybe after we stay there a while, but when we get there, we probably would just put some newspaper to the window so nobody couldn't look in. Mm-hmm.
Well, by 1950, there were five of us. I mean, even with working two jobs, doing hair, lying to get welfare, we were still barely living. My mother led a life on the run. If Mom felt a need to leave immediately, I mean, if she had a few minutes, we had a routine where you could throw a sheet or a spread on the floor and just grab whatever you could, tie it up like a hobo.
We would take a sheet and spread it out, and we would tie clothes in it, and we wouldn't take pots and pans because that would be too heavy. We would just take most of our clothes when we run away.
You know, and that's the way you moved. You didn't have time for boxes. And if she had time, if she just had on a gown or a robe, I mean, if she had to leave like that, barefooted or whatever, sometimes she ran out of the house like that.
Well, I do remember one thing that I really would miss, and that was my high-heeled shoes. And I would get somebody to go back and get them because that was what I really wanted when I run off and leave my shoes. Even if my sister had to steal them back from me. I would send somebody back over in the house where I had ran away from to see could they find them. Because I had ran off and left everything, you know, because I was afraid to go back.
See, one reason why shoes became a big issue with her, when she was in the South, they were not allowed to try on shoes when they bought them at the store. They had to measure their foot with a string or a stick, take it to the store, and pick out a pair. If you put your foot in the shoe, you automatically bought it. And she never could get a pair of shoes to fit her right, and was only able to have a proper fitting when she came to the city.
Mm-hmm. Black high heel, patent leather. They would just follow me wherever I go. I would make sure I take my patent leather shoes.
In this particular place, which was the worst place we ever lived, and a place that my mother had to beg to rent because the landlord didn't feel that with five children she could pay the rent, we were on the first floor, the bathroom was on the third floor, and the bathroom on the third floor was directly over our kitchen stove. Every apartment held entire families, and every apartment was two rooms. Anyway, that toilet constantly ran over down on our stove, and that was a chore, that clean up behind the toilet running over down on our stove. You know, it's not my turn. Nobody wanted the job, and Mother just mostly did it herself. I was ashamed of some of the places we lived because I was meeting children at school, and I didn't really want them coming to my house, because if you came to my house, you came into a room with a bed, you know, a couch, a let-out couch, of course.
And then we would make pallets, you know. That's a quilt on the floor and a pillow. If it wasn't room in the bed, some would be on the floor with a pillow on the floor.
Pallets and pillows, and there was no room for walking. And we fought a lot, because we didn't have any space. My childhood was a series of reunions and leavings. Leaving my dad was a sad thing for me. Mother leaving was a happy thing, but me leaving was sad. And I was sad for Mom when he found us, but I was happy for myself. I mean, it was just mixed emotion is really the truth.
So we was on Adams, 1600 on Adams, the last time I saw my first husband. And that's when we separated for good. And my baby was about 2 years old.
He fled the city for being in trouble with the law.
I can tell you that story real good. Okay, the last time that he came, I had made up my mind. I had got my sister's gun. And I told my children, I said, the only way I'm going to hurt you all, Daddy, is he break this door down. And that was the last time that he come and tried to get back with me. And he said, if you give me my two boys, I'll leave you alone. I gave him his two boys, and I gave him a suitcase of clothes. And he took them that night, and he brought them back the next morning. And that was the last of togetherness with me and him.
Mm-hmm. Everything was different after that, Mother, mm-hmm. because she met a younger, handsome man who fell in love with her and her children. And he found us an apartment. That apartment was four rooms on the second floor. It seemed so spacious. It was home, even though I still didn't like him particularly. You know, it was home, and that was so reassuring that we didn't have to, you know, get on the road again.
Well, who would want to keep a moving? Wouldn't you want to settle down sometime? I wanted to be stationary if I could. It's a better life. I just think about running from place to place, because that's what I did.